That LK Mobile.
Good morning, Shane. KA3JCAU. But punched out and headed home now?
I'm about halfway home. I had to stop and put fuel in the truck. And I put the free fuel in my work truck, and then I had to put the fuel that I got to pay for in my truck. So that was a little more difficult.
Isn't it? It's a shame that with all the driving you do, they give you free gas.
They don't give away very much at all.
Boy, I know it. I'm not sure what gas prices are doing right now, if they're going up or down here. I know Ashley and Sally have been buying the gas. All I hear is the OPEC barrels being released or not sold or whatever. The cost per barrel's going up and then down and back and forth, so who knows? KA3JCA.
$4.99, depending on where you get it from. I made a mistake and drove by a sign that said $4.60-something. I'd never bought it from there. Usually get it from another place, and it was $4.99 when I got there.
It's amazing how, like, my QT here on the 385 in Butler is one price, and you can come over to Woodruff Road, and that's maybe 1 or 2 cents either less or more, and then yet I can drive across town to the VA, and the QT over there off of 25 and the road that goes up to the VA, I can't remember it, but it's like even cheaper over on that side of town.
Well, me, as you live on the rich side of town.
It seems like it sometimes. Yeah, I just couldn't think of it.
The name of that road to Doctor's Drive or Medical Drive, only there are roads that are named, but it's nothing but doctor's offices and medical supply places now on Grove Road.
Much correct. So Shane, Sally went out to Colorado, and like I said, the family that she's visiting, the husband, he's a lawyer, he's a patent attorney, which is, I find very interesting that, you know, he doesn't really do a lot of that litigation stuff in the courtroom and stuff, but he researches and does all that stuff, and it's kind of like a special or a, like being a, like a, you're a doctor, you could be a special, like a surgeon in cardiology or neurology. Well, he's a patent attorney. Well, he bought himself a 49-inch curved monitor, and he was working in the office this week, so Sally got to use it to log in for her work, and she can actually bring up like 4 or 6 different screens on this big 49-inch monitor. Now she's telling me she wants one.
I was going as soon as you said Sally got to use it.
And her company gave her these little small, I swear to God, I don't think they're 24-inch, but they gave her these little small computers or screens. Because it comes with a little, I mean, the box, the computer, is probably the size of a mobile radio. And they gave her 2 monitors. Well, she's having to open and close and move and minimize, and so forth like that. So I said, look, try this monitor if you like it. Well, I gave her a 32-inch monitor that was just a little too big. So I gave her a 24-inch monitor, and next thing I know, I had 2 more, so she has 3 24-inch monitors right now.
But I heard a butt in there, like, but now there's going to be a 42 or a 49-inch monitor, curved monitor.
All on one screen, and yeah, I guess it's easier to manipulate the windows moving on the one single screen than not having 3 separate screens. I tried to convince her that the 3 24 inches that she's got right now gives her 72 inches.
I'm sure it's difficult because that curved monitor and sitting there at that desk or wherever she was, I'm sure it was a new, a neat attraction.
Yeah, I looked at it online. And it's nice because you don't have the edges of each monitor that you have to kind of, when your eyes move from left to right, you've got that break in the where the screen is between the three monitors. So you have basically like two black 1-inch sections down the middle of the screen, whereas that 49 inch is just all monitor, and you can put the windows in any order, you know, fashion you want. You can make them small, big, the full width of the screen, whatever.
But when you get it, I'll be interested in curious how long it takes you to get one. I did hear you say earlier you were going to see if you could hit the Gainesville repeater. Were you able to?
Yeah. I can program my radio. That's one thing I don't like about my DMR radio. It is kind of difficult to, you have to put the channel in, then you have to put the channel in the zone. It's easier for me to hook it up to the computer and plug the reprogram the software, but I just didn't feel like getting out of bed doing that yet. So I figured I'll try it later just to see. Maybe, let's see, you go back to work, what, Monday night?
Day night.
Net on Monday, so I might try to follow you on 610, and then when you switch over to the Gainesville, I'll have to see if I can reach it.
Probably bet that you may not be able to. I'm out here in Dacusville. I could pull it up at White Horse Road, but it was in and out too much. I might be able to get it when I pull into my neighborhood. It kind of goes up on a hill, but down where I live, I doubt I'll be able to do it either. It'd be nice if I could get it, because that's a pretty good reach.
Tower or anything up at your house?
J-pole up on the ridge of the roof. It's about 30 feet up, but I'm down in a hole. I've got some hills around me. To the east, southeast, it's wide open. But to the northwest, I've got a hill that goes up 400 feet, and it's blocking me that direction. But I do have line of sight right to the repeater, to the Caesar's Head repeater.
Yeah, I have a pole that's up about 45 feet, maybe 50, and then I have the Diamond 2000 tri-bander 2-4 and 6 up there. I've actually been pretty fortunate. I can actually hit stuff up in Asheville and Henderson. And the guy know that the Gainesville, I'm not sure where the Gainesville repeater is and what its elevation is, but I'll just have to play around with it. So even if I put a 5 or 7 element UHF or VHF beam up there and pointed it that way, I know I'd probably be able to hit it.
Your antenna was up that high, you might be able to get it, because it's pretty flat where you are off in that direction. There's a good chance you'll be able to.
Can figure out if I can get it programmed today or tomorrow, and so forth. Yeah, I actually, I don't know if you heard me earlier, if I told you, I've been helping an 83-year-old gentleman from Charleston program his code plug. And then, oh, lo and behold, I shouldn't say I can't believe it, I can believe it. Yesterday, somebody got on the digital DMR and was asking for help. This ham lives in Kansas, and you talk about living out in the woods. I brought up the site. This guy has the closest repeater is probably 80, 90 miles around him in any direction. And they did have one in their town, but I guess it went down or is no longer on the air. So this company... IDK through JCA. The company apparently sold this elderly gentleman a hotspot and a radio, and he get it home and he couldn't get it to work, and he was about ready to throw it in the trash. And his ham went over to try to help him, and he just wasn't familiar with DMR or whatever. And I heard him asking questions yesterday. He called me, and I got him to got the hotspot working, and I walked him through how to use the radio. And we hit a lot of the zones. This guy, like I said, has trouble seeing, can't really, I don't know about his hearing, but we made the radio so simple. Basically, we gave him a zone that he can talk on, 4 or 5 zones, and private, and also the 50 states he can talk on. to DMR. So we're gonna. I'm waiting to see today or tomorrow if the guy calls me to see if he got it up and operational for the gentleman.
I'm sure that's a big help to that guy, especially if he can get it working. He'll be able to make some contacts and not be so isolated. And Richard, if you're not careful, it won't be long. BridgeCom will be calling you and offering you a job.
Yeah, I mean, because of my disability and so forth, that the type that I have, I cannot work. But I've offered to volunteer and do some stuff. Maybe they would maybe swap something out in like radios or hotspots or whatever. But so far, no taking. But I don't mind helping hams. I like paying it forward because I know what it felt back in 2015 when I got involved, and people are like, "Oh, you have to do it yourself in order to learn it," and they didn't even offer any guidance back then, it seems like. And even now, you get people that don't want to help. They say, "Oh, you have to do it to learn it." So I've just dove in, and I've watched every single video that the BridgeCom has on their university site for both the mobile, the hotspot, and the handheld. And then I find new stuff on YouTube and so forth. And then a lot of stuff I found out through trial and error or through other hams that have a little bit more knowledge than I do.
That's really cool. There's a lot of helpful hams out there, and you're contributing greatly. I met a guy, I think he was, he's in his 80s. I can't remember, 87 maybe. I just gotten that little 857D, and I was hardly running any power at all, just trying to test it and get a see what it sounded like. And I got an email from him. He was out in somewhere out west, Arizona possibly. And he said, if you want to give me a call, he said, I know a lot about a lot of these, how to set up the audio on a lot of these radios. So I gave him a call, and we got on the air, and he helped me fine-tune some settings. And then I hear him all the time on either 20 meters, generally 20 meters. And he'll have a line of people just waiting to talk to him to help them set up their radios. And, you know, he pulls up. He's got all the directions, got all these little cheat sheets, and he'll pull them up on his computer and help anybody who asks. It's pretty cool.
But he wanted to use the repeater, KA3GHA with N4ZLK. You know, I had to do that. I had to start making some notes. A lot of my stuff is in my head, but it's going to be not long before I probably start forgetting some of the stuff. But I will tell you that I can turn my DMR radio on and listen to Talk Group 93 or 91. And every once in a while, I'll be listening and I'll hear hams that I've helped talking to other hams. Well, you need to give this guy a call and they'll throw my call sign out.
Word of mouth is a good thing. If it's a recommendation by word of mouth, it's a good thing. And it sounds like it is. So I know they appreciate it. Richard, I am almost home, so I'm actually going to, as soon as I get to the top of the hill, I'm going to flip over to Gainesville real quick and see if I can bring it up. There's a guy that came on this repeater several months ago. I was working in the daytime, and his name was John W4CWL, I think it was his call, and he moved up here to Pickens County, got a second home up here. He's going to retire up here, still works out of Atlanta. And I got on the Gainesville repeater last night, and I heard him, and we talked. I was almost down to Atlanta, and we were still talking, and he's up here in Pickens, about 10 miles south of where I live.
When I talked to John on DMR, that's how I learned of the Atlanta and the Metro Atlanta DMR channels that over there that everybody hangs out on.
This guy, I mean, I hadn't heard him in a while. I missed his call. I heard him talking to somebody else, and then he said, "John, I'm up here in Pickens, South Carolina," and I knew immediately who he was. So he's actually west of me. He's about 10 miles west of me. So it was good to reconnect with him last night.
I don't know. I just stumbled across him one day on DMR. He was going up to the house here in South Carolina, and he was giving me a couple of repeaters to try, and I did, and then I started listening to the talk groups that he gave you that he hangs out on, and met like three or four other people, And actually, one of the girls that I met on the repeater was actually out west in Wyoming, or not Wyoming, sorry, Washington State or Oregon, up in that area. And she was waiting at the airport, and she threw her call out to try to call John. And I told her that, well, he was on earlier but signed off. But if I hear him on there again, I'll tell him you were calling. But she was actually waiting in the terminal with her hotspotted DMR radio talking, waiting to catch a flight back here to, or back to Atlanta.
That's pretty cool. It's kind of a selling point on that DMR there. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. I'm almost home, and I'm going to flip over real quick, just give it a try, and then I'm going to go home, take a shower, and get to bed. So hope to talk to you again. Say hello to Sally. If I get a chance, I'll try to get on the air tonight. I probably will be in bed, though, about the time you pick her up. You have a good day. Good to talk to you, and thanks for the ride-along. KA3JCA, N4ZLK.
All right, Shane, 73, KA3JCA, clear.
From 2 Tango Mobile.
KA3JCA.
Ending in JTA.
Here, it's Richard, KA3JCA.
Good morning, Richard. This is Rusty over here in Spartanburg. And I'm headed off to work. My church is one of the sponsors of a food bank, and it's our Saturday to work, and that's where I'm headed this morning.
Basically, what, you have church members that need food come over to the food bank?
From anywhere in Spartanburg County who need assistance. There's five churches involved, and we're open every Saturday, and people come from all over the county. They've registered with the county services, and they come out, and we give them a chance to pick up food, and we give them what we've got, give something of what we've got to everybody that comes out, and then, you know, we're there. It's just a place to help people who need it.
Very, very helpful. I know when I lived in Florida, I was homeless for a period of time, and I used to visit a couple of the food banks down there. Two different food banks, and I could go like you said on a Saturday one day, and then midweek on the other. And it wasn't to pick up a whole week's worth of supply. You just picked up a few staples that they had available that you needed, and it was very helpful. I wish we had more services like that everywhere.
We've been part of this since the beginning, and this is the fifth or sixth year we've had been one of the sponsors of it. And we've got a lot of grocery stores and different things, Sam's Club and Publix, and all, they all provide food to us and things like that. There are some farms around that give us fresh vegetables and fruits when the season's right and everything else like that. So we get quite a bit of stuff coming in over the time. And like I said, our food bank is open every Saturday, and folks can come to us one time a month, and then, you know, next month they can come again. So it gives them a chance to be serviced, and we give them a pretty good, you know, we give them a pretty good level of food depending upon how much we have in stock. So it helps out, and like I said, we're one of five churches that sponsor this thing. And one of the other things that will be done is we're going to be taking reservations for the families that want to come for Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving, so we'll have that too coming up. We'll be registering folks for that for the next several weekends.
Oh, I forgot it. It's that time already. Are you guys, do you guys deep fry the turkeys, or do you just all bake them in the oven?
Yeah, how they do that, I usually don't work that event. I'm usually not available for that, and I won't be this year either. But I don't know how they do the turkeys, but they provide all of, you know, they do a whole set of meals. And if you got a family of five, you can come, and five can come, and you can come and either eat there or take it home with you. And you know, but we fix it up so they can take it with them, and they do a lot of cooking the day before.
JCA. Yeah, that's good, especially, you know, when you cook it up and you can keep it in warmers and stuff like that, have it kind of pretty much pre-prepared. All you have to do is reheat it, and then when you're ready to serve, just open the doors and let the people that have signed up come on in.
what we do. And like I said, they started taking reservations, last weekend of last month. So, and all since it's only four Saturdays between the end of October and then when Thanksgiving rolls around. So, and like I said, we provide a level of food for the folks that along the way, and it helps feed everybody. And we do, like I said, we give them a fairly good range of stuff. We try to give them meats and vegetables and dry goods and, paper towels and toilet tissue and Kleenex and all the good things they need, for a household. So we try to do a good job with giving them a good amount of food and stuff to take care of themselves for a while.
And the other churches involved for doing stuff like that, because, like I said, it's really, really needed. So, yeah, I've been up early this morning. I talked to a lot of the guys that were headed over to Stone Mountain for today's Ham Fest.
I've been to in a number of years, and making that trip down there by myself is not what I like. And if I'm going someplace like that, I prefer to go with a couple of other folks, and not make it a one-on-one trip, and because that gets a little boring after a while. So, and particularly at my age, and getting things done over here, and I'll do what I do, and folks can go down and get what they want. Here comes a car that's got enough lights on the front of it, he can blind most everybody. I hate people that do that. They think they got to run their fog lights all the time. But it's what it is. Anyway, I'm headed towards the site, and we'll open the doors at 8 o'clock and start registering people and then start running our folks through there, pick up the food, take it out to them, and load it. In fact, they don't even have to come inside. They come out to where our tables are out front, register to tell us how many people they got in the family and if they have any special needs, and we run our folks through to do the actual picking up stuff and then go load it in their car and get them on their way.
Alrighty, Rusty. Well, I know you're probably getting close there. My daughter actually just walked in. She went to pick me up some breakfast here real quick. So I'm going to partake of that, and then I'm actually going to probably clean the house some and then rest a little bit. I have to pick my wife up at the Asheville Airport tonight, so.
House cleaned up before Mama gets home, and because if it's dirty, she's going to blame you for everything that's in there that's dirty. Ah, know what that was like. I was married for 45 years before my wife passed, so been there, done that, and it's all just, family thing. But, yeah, and I'm not in a big hurry out here because it's foggy all over the place out here this morning. So you take it easy and have a good day, and we'll catch you later. K3JTA, I believe it was. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango Mobile.
73W2T KA3JCA, clear.